Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
On behalf of LTBS programs, we want to welcome you to our program this afternoon. It's good to be with you. We're going to commence our service today with opening prayer. We ask you to join with us as we seek the Lord for His blessing upon the message this afternoon. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can come into Thy presence again. And Lord, we rejoice that there is for us the throne of grace and the throne of mercy. We come with thanksgiving for all of Thy goodness to us and for Thy mercies, not only today, but in past days. And Lord, we thank Thee this evening as we come into Thy presence. Thou hast promised that where two or three are met together in Thy name, that there Thou art in the midst of them. And our Father, we pray that You bless this program today. Lord, we ask Thee that each one who would hear, Lord, might receive a word from Thee to meet the need of each heart. O God, undertake for the preacher and undertake for the hearer, for we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for His eternal glory. Amen. Amen. We want to turn in our scripture reading to the book of John, St. John chapter 19. And together we want to read the first six verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Amen, and we trust that God would add his blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to sing another hymn together, a hymn, Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Indeed, what a Saviour is the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, bore our sins in his own body, shed his blood that we might be redeemed. Let us sing heartily unto the Lord. Ask you to turn back, please, to the portion of scripture that we were reading just a few moments ago, found in John chapter 19. We're taking as our text this evening, verse 5, where we read these words. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. I want to take those last three words this evening as our text, Behold the man. At the beginning of the Saviour's earthly ministry, he came to John the Baptist to be baptized there in the River Jordan. And as he did, John pointed the people to Christ and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That was back at the beginning of John in the chapter 1 and the verse 29. And now here in John 19 and the verse 5, we find Pilate bringing Christ out to the people. This time he's wearing a crown of thorns and a mocking purple robe. Not only that, the Saviour's back has been left like a ploughed field from the scourging that he received with the cruel stripes of the Roman whip. And as Pilate brings the Saviour out before the people, he says again, Behold the man. John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God. Christ was the eternal Lamb. He was the eternal sacrifice who would die there upon the cross of Calvary in the sinner's stead and in the sinner's place. John said, Behold the Lamb. But now the people, they have rejected him, and they have turned their backs upon the Savior. And when Pilate brings the Savior out, he says, "Behold the man." I want you to put the two together. And I want to point it to you today that Christ is either the Lamb who has died in your place. He's either your Savior or he is the man whom, like the people, you have rejected. But one day he will be your judge. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And so Christ is either your Lamb or he's the man. He's either the Lamb or he's the man. He is either your Savior or he is your judge. You're either saved or you're unsaved. You're either going to heaven or you're going down the broad road to a lost eternity in hell. You're either born again unto new life or you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You know, I wonder, even as we commence this message, what is Christ to you? Is he the Lamb? Is he your Savior? Or is he the man who one day will be your judge? But as I said, I want us to look at those three words, simple words. Behold the man. And tonight I want us to behold him as the Savior. Now firstly, behold Christ. He's the faultless man. In John chapter 19, in the verse 1, Pilate, in a desperate attempt to appease the people, thinking that it might be enough for them and that he might let Christ go, he brought Christ out and he scourged him. He took the Savior and he beat him 39 times with the Roman whip, 40 times less one. For they believed that 40 times, 40 lashes of the Roman whip was enough to kill a man. So Pilate whipped the Savior almost to the point of death. But not only that, he crowned the Savior with a crown of thorns. And when he had done that, he placed a mocking purple robe upon the Savior's back. And all the while Pilate knew that Christ was faultless. In verse 4 we read, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him at all." Pilate knew that he was the faultless man. When the people wouldn't be satisfied with what Pilate had already done on the Savior, he said to them in verse 6, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him at all." Pilate declared Christ. Pilate, who was judging Christ, declared him to be the faultless man. But Pilate wasn't the only one to declare him faultless that day. For Pilate's wife came in unto him, or she sent him a note saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, or that innocent man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." There was Pilate declared Christ to be faultless. And there was Pilate's wife. But then Peter testified to the faultlessness of the Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 19, Peter said that Christ was the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And so here we have Christ. Not only is he the faultless man, he's the spotless man. He's without blemish and without spot. He's the sinless Lamb of God. He was the Son of God, born of the Virgin, born without sin. He was the one who knew no sin. Neither was vile found in his mouth. And yet, this faultless Savior, this faultless Son of God, he went to the cross and he took the sinner's place. He bore the sin of many upon his own body upon the tree. In fact, he took upon himself our sin. He became sin for us. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, we read, "God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ, he was the faultless, sinless Savior. The one who took our sin
and suffered our punishment, that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved. The hymn writer penned those lovely words. He took my sin and my sorrow. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. You might then ask, does that mean that everyone will be saved? Will everyone go to heaven eventually? You say, if Christ died for sinners upon the cross, will everyone eventually, automatically be saved? No, not at all. I'm not saying that. You see, salvation is a gift which you must receive. And if you will be saved, if you will ever enter into glory, if you will know your sins forgiven, then you must repent of your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord himself said on two occasions, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But we have that lovely verse in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 13, where we read those words, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, this, can I say this? If you're not saved, I encourage you, I implore you, repent of your sin and call upon the Lord even now. Wherever you may be, call upon him to save you. Behold Christ, the faultless man. But then we notice Christ, the mocked man. The mocked man. You know, in this portion of God's word, in John 19, verses 1 and 2, we read, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And then in verse 3 we read that they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And oh, we can picture the scene. And we lament, what mockery. Christ there was standing. And the Son, he's the Son of God. Standing there, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He's the only Savior of sinners. But we see him with the eye of faith, and there he is. He's beaten and he's bruised, his back is torn. He's crowned with a crown of thorns, to put a purple robe upon his back. And now they're bending the knee before him, mocking him, scoffing him. Can I tell you, you cannot mock God. You cannot scorn the Bible and escape the wrath of God. It doesn't matter who you are. In Galatians 6 verse 7 we read, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sadly, people don't realize it. But every time that they reject Christ, as the people did here, but every time people reject Christ in the gospel, and every time they refuse to be, get saved or to come to the Savior, especially in a gospel meeting or in a gospel program, you know, they might as well mock him. When they reject him, they might as well mock him. You see, the people here, they were rejecting Christ as they mocked him. And so every time the Spirit of God speaks to you about salvation and you reject Christ, you mock Christ. And if you die as you are, you'll pay the price of your rejection. And you'll suffer the wrath of God for your mockery of his Son in a lost eternity and for all eternity. On the 28th of December, 1908, an earthquake destroyed the beautiful city of Messina in Italy, killed some 75,000 people at that particular time. Sadly, the people of that city, they had rejected God, and they had blatantly published in the paper a series of profanities against God, and then mockingly, they dared the Almighty to make himself known by sending an earthquake. Am I to do such a thing? What mockery. But they didn't have long to wait. For God gave them 3 days to repent. Sadly, they didn't take their opportunity and they didn't repent. And God took them at their word. God sent an earthquake. We underline that verse, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And we remind you that every time you reject Christ as your Savior, you might as well get down and mock Him. Unsaved one, God in His mercy towards you is giving you time and space to repent of your sin. Time to come to your senses like the prodigal. He's giving you time to stop your rejection and mockery of Christ. He's giving you time to call upon Him for salvation. But let me tell you something. God has said He'll not always wait. For some day, the Spirit of God might leave you in your sin to reap the seeds that you have sown. You've mocked Him in one day. He will mock you and turn you away from His presence into a lost eternity. Genesis 6 verse 3 says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with you. Oh, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Christ is the faultless man. He's the mocked man. But then we see here Christ, He's the condemned man. Christ, as we have said, was scourged. Pilate scourged Him with the Roman whip 39 times. They had hammered the crown of thorns into His lovely brow. They had placed a mocking purple robe upon His back. And Pilate did all this in an effort to appease the people, hoping that it would be enough for them. And that they might let the Savior go rather than send Him to the cross. But all the while, the people were determined that Christ must die. And nothing would change their mind. There were people that could not be appeased. And so we could say that Christ that day, standing between Pilate and the people, He was a condemned man. They were determined that day, before the sun would set, that they would crucify the Savior. In fact, in verse 6 we read, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw Him, they cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him. These were the words of wicked religious men. Here they were, bloodthirsty, crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Pilate had said that He was a faultless man, yet they cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him. Then again in verses 14 and 15, after Pilate again sought to release Christ, we read, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and He saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with Him. Away with Him. Crucify Him. From that moment, Christ was finally condemned to death. Not only by the chief priests and the people, but also by Pilate himself. For in verse 16 we read, then delivered He Him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they did. For in verses 17 and 18 we read, and He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him. The faultless man, the mocked man, the condemned man, was now the crucified man. But if you're not saved, then so are you likewise. You're condemned. In John 3 verse 18 it says, he that believeth not is condemned already. But you say, I believe in Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He was crucified. But the word means more than that. It means to trust Him completely. And tonight, if you're not trusting Christ completely and for your own and personal Savior, then the Scripture says that you're condemned already. Friend, you need to be saved. It's not enough to simply believe with the head all the knowledge that you can gather about Christ, but you must believe in your heart. You need to repent of your sin. You need to come to Christ by faith. You need to come to the cross. There, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your own and personal Savior. Can I say this faultless man, this mocked man, this condemned man, the crucified man, he's the risen man. For he rose the third day, and he's the ascended man. He's rose up into glory. He's seated at the Father's right hand, but he's coming back again to judge the quick and the dead. I tell you, you need to be saved. And I urge you just now, wherever you are, to come to Christ. He's coming again to receive unto him his own. On that day, will you be ready? Will you be saved? Or will you be left behind to be cast into hell for all eternity? Oh, trust Christ. Trust him today. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we have been speaking of just now. We thank thee that he went to the cross and he bore the sins of many. And Lord, we pray even today by thy Spirit, speak to each heart wherever they be. Cause conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And give that needed grace today to repent of their sin and to receive Christ as their Savior. Oh God, hear and answer prayer. Save precious souls. Restore the poor backslider. Edify the saints. May each one trust in Christ for time and for eternity. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.